This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This decision is grounded in the core values of the conference that prioritize student-athlete well-being. Clearly, we are charting a conservative path, and it is one that has been recommended by our medical advisory group. There are simply too many unknowns for us to put our student athletes in situations that are not clearly understood. We have traditionally been a leader on student athlete well-being issues. This has not been an easy decision, but for the Mid-American Conference, it is the right decision.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10, Sunday mornings. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices. And that, he sounded like the commissioner of MAC. Am I correct? And I'm not sure I get his name right.
John Steinbrecher.
Steinbrecher, that's it. Yeah, the announcement was made earlier this week, man. What'd you think when you heard that?
Just yesterday. This is just yesterday, and some people think it's the first domino to fall for college football. It's the first FBS conference, Division I FBS conference, to say we're not going to play. And so a lot of people are wondering whether this leaves some things. They play some good football in that league.
Right.
They really do. As someone who got a chance to see it up close and personal last year when Georgia State went to play up at Western Michigan. They play some good ball up there, but they're saying they're not gonna play. And is it a precursor to what we will see this week? A lot of people feel like that's what the case will be. We'll see.
Would you be surprised if that is a case across the board? Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, and I stole a line from Paul Feinbaum regarding all of college sports, okay, or college football, and that is that they're kicking the can down the road to the inevitable. We all know what's coming, and they're trying to appease the people who wrote the checks already, but nobody's answered the question of how are you going to keep these kids safe? How are you going to keep linemen safe? Let's start there. If you give me that answer, then we can go to everybody else that's out there on the field.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Greg? It's not you're going to keep everybody safe. And I went to some high school football practices this week and saw teams in various stages of preparation. Some had pads on, you know, because they're allowed to work out with pads, and some weren't. It was cool to see some doing some different and unique things to get kids to have social distancing when they're on the sidelines, when they're not actively, practicing or not involved with the play, just to try to get things turned around. I understand that the sidelines are going to be extended in both high school and college football. Remember, I think we go from the 30s to 30s. They're going to extend out to the 20s, maybe even the 10s, to give everybody room to space out on the sideline. That's one thing that they're doing. You ask what's happening. But I think you want to see what it looks like. And to me, we're going to talk with Chris Marler later on in our show from Saturday Down South, that the Southeastern Conference is kind of been the smarted, I won't say outsmarted everybody, but they slid their start time back to the point where they get to see what everybody else will do. And that's been my thing for high school football. High school football looks like it's going to be the first thing to kick off, on September 4th weekend, without seeing how anybody else does it. And I'm like, don't you want to see what somebody else does before you go out and just play? Because it's more than just kids playing a game. There's stuff around the game. There are people who have to be around the game. I had a conversation, you know, a couple of months ago with Dr. Brian Hainline, and he's a name that you're probably going to hear this week or in the coming days because he is one of the top medical officials for the NCAA. He's going to be one of the guys who's going to say whether to get a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So you're going to, if you don't, if you're not familiar with his name, you're going to hear his name mentioned in the coming weeks. And he talked about, like you said, a bubble of sorts. A first bubble, which is the field, and finding a way to secure the players and the officials and the immediate people who have to be on the field for the game. Then you extend it to people. Would it be a reporter or you know, or camera people? Would all your camera people be off the field? Would everybody have to be up in a higher position to shoot cameras? That's the other thing, you know, you wonder about. And then if you can secure that area, then maybe you can bring some spectators in, but securing the field first. Don't you want to see what that looks like? Don't you want to see what the NFL does to do that? Don't you want to see what college football does that before you put 15, 16, 17-year-old folks on the field? And that's where the SEC, I think, has kind of outsmarted some others. They've slid their start date back, Greg, to the end of September, and they're going to see what happens when all the other conferences start and see what mistakes they make, see what looks good, see what looks bad, or see if they get beyond the first week and they just pull the curtain on the whole thing. And so that's kind of what the SEC to me has done. And to me, if you're in this region, you have to pay attention to that. They're waiting to see what everybody else, what it looks like, because that's the mystery. That's the question mark that everybody has right now. How do we do this?
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm going to steal another phrase from somebody else, and this was from the late David Stern. All right, I'll engage in this palabble. How are you going to do this? First, they've already eliminated scrimmages. I mean, you can still play without scrimmages, but that makes it that much more difficult. These guys, this is a part of prepping for the season. You can extend the sidelines and all that stuff. One of the things that we all know about football is players have to get in football shape and not about hitting the locker rooms. We know that. So getting out there and connecting with each other or other teams or whatever gets you ready. So, you know, gets those muscles that you need throughout the season instead of pulling hamstrings right after the first practice or whatever. So you have the scrimmages that were eliminated, correct, this past week? No high schools are going to be able to.
Yep.
No high schools are going to be able to scrimmage. The other thing about the bubble conversation is, well, that's all well and fine, but we're talking about on the high school level, you're not going to make some kid live in a dorm. Parents are not going to let that happen, and you can't do it. So that's a nice conversation, but again, on the high school level, again, I don't see how you can do it on the college level, because that brings up another set of challenges, which we've talked about. If you were to be able to house the players like what's going on in the bubble in the NBA, they still have to go to classes, correct? And some colleges, class. you got the classrooms, and then you got the extracurricular stuff, which you know is going to be going on. And
with the people who are going to be in the classroom. You want the players to be disciplined and not go to things and not go to parties, not go to large gatherings. But what about the people they're going to be in the classroom with?
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to be next to them.
They're going to go on with their lives and do what they normally do.
So all this conversation about what they're doing on the field, while it's all well and good, and we understand you got to start doing something. I get it. But the conversation that comes back at them, and most likely from parents, right, on the high school level, is what about this? And is my baby going to be ready to play? Because I don't want them going out there.
You know what? And this morning, I'm going to go in on parents a little bit.
Go ahead.
And because, you know, yeah, you would think that, Greg. But you know what? Maybe not as much as you think. The parents are asking.
Why is that?
There are some that ask. They're just not. I think the parents are glad, first of all, to get the kids out the house. Some of them are thinking about that. They are. That's the challenging. That's the challenge here. The young people are happy. They've been shut up in the house before weeks. They're happy to see their friends and do something that just feels normal, man. You know, and as I went through the practices this week, and I went to several places, and, you know, the kids are so excited to be out there. The coaches are yelling. The coaches ain't had nobody to yell at. Coach wanna yell at somebody. He ain't had nobody, you know.
Yeah, well, so that's blowing up in the coaches' faces on the college level.
But listen, where I'm going with this. And I asked him, I said, you got any problems? Parents express anything? And very few of them, said that, you know, maybe some, maybe for the ninth graders, but, you know, as they get older, parents are still thinking if they're going to play, especially if they got a kid that's a senior, will they get a chance to be recruited and whatnot? And my thing with this, my thing is this with Georgia. If they don't have a high school football season in the fall and they have to push it to the first of the year, our game is so good in this state. The college recruiters are going to come whenever we play. They're going to come to Georgia whenever Georgia plays. And so I'm not that worried about kids getting scholarship opportunities. California shut down. Whenever California plays, and California's not going to play till December, January. Whenever California plays, college recruiters are going to California.
The hot spots got talent. But the hot spots are all the places, the hotbeds for high school football. It's amazing that you say that. And how? Listen, I think that's going to be the next way of scouting these things. Is there going to be some sort of technology that's put in place where these scouts don't have to attend? Because you're talking about the top locations in this country for high school football. You got Florida, you got Georgia, you got Texas, you got California.
Right.
All of them hot spots. All of them crazy with this virus right now. So they're going to have to come up with plan B to do everything that you just said. Let's say we get past all the hurdles that we've been discussing and other people have been talking about, and parents say, cool, I'm with that. Now they're keeping their kids in there, as you just said, to get that scholarship. Understandable. But who's going to come see them if they feel like coming to this state is problematic for them? So now we got to set up another way for these guys to see. We know that these kids are putting their stuff. Maybe they do the scouting
YouTube videos.
Stuff
on Huddle and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they just do it out that way.
They're doing it that way. But the scouts still want to keep up with when things happen. The thing you talk about, though, when you talk high school, I'm concerned about the grown-ups. Because everybody will tell you, medical officials will say, there's so few instances of kids that age getting sick. They do test positive, and we've seen that. We're going to talk about the son with Gabriel Stovall in just a few minutes. They do test positive, but rarely do you see them get sick. But once they test positive, they go back around adults. And you have to have adults around the game. You can't just have kids go out there and play by themselves. You got to have coaches on the sideline. You got to have your officials. You got to have other people who operate the facilities in the stadiums. This past week, one of the arguments, I think, going back and forth with GHSA and the health and that committee, was how many people to allow in the games. And they were going from 20%. Some people wanted 30% of the seating. And who's going to do that? Who's going to go by that? Mm-hmm. Down in South Georgia, our friend, Coach Rush Probst, has a quarterback who's come all the way from California.
Yeah.
He's come all the way from California to Valdosta. Don't you know he's going to have a tough time when he meets them Nats down there? But here's the thing. Oh. When he goes to play Colquitt County in Moultrie, his most recent place that he left, how are you going to limit that stadium to 30%?
Yeah.
You'll have the biggest fight. You ain't got enough sheriff deputies in that county to put down the fight you're going to have for people who are going to get. So I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
But nobody's telling people how to do this. And those are serious problems that are going to be out there if they still want to try to play this game. Now, let's see how somebody else does it. And that's my whole thing. But, you know, we'll talk about it more. And I want to hear from some folks. By the way, if any high school coaches or officials are listening, give me a shout, 404-741-0929. I'd love to hear from you. If you're a parent, we'd love to hear from you, you know, and, you know, we got more. We're going forward. Greg.
But wait a little bit because we got a guest coming up next we want to hear from Crescent Buzz. We're going to talk to Gabriel Stovall, Reverend. We're going to talk to the Reverend next on a Sunday morning, as the way it should be. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Don't know why I'm talking like Obama, but it's nice.
Me damn sure the pilot washed his hands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on a Sunday morning. Glad you're spending some time with us. We're available wherever you are. If you're sheltering in place, if you're moving around, if you're trying to get a little bit of a trip in somewhere before kids start back to school, take us along with you, please. We're available through the radio.com app, through all of your smartphones and smart devices. And, hey, we're looking for another hot one outside today. Sun's already coming up. Going to be a beautiful day outside. So if you need to get out and enjoy some of it, but you will sweat. I promise you, you are guaranteed to sweat.
You sounded like an LA DJ for a second there. That's why I was laughing. Hey, it's going to be a hot one today.
It's going to be a hot one today. It is.
I know, it's just funny. Hi, good morning, everybody. It's Sam Crenshaw out here. It's a hot one out there.
It is. Without a doubt. Hey, it's a hot one for these young people who are working towards something, and they're hoping it's going to happen for them in spite of all the odds with the virus. They're still practicing and trying very hard to get to the season for high school football. And the guy who's keeping an eye, obviously, on high school football around the area, and we want to check in with him. Gabriel Stovall joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Crescent Buzz and also the Georgia Sports Writers. Good morning, Gabe.
Morning, Reverend.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Sam. I was peeping out that L.A. Broadcaster style, too, man. That you were sounding good this morning, bro. That's a good call, man. That's exactly how he sounded. So you woke me up with that call, man. So I appreciate it.
Hey, Gabriel, before Sam's going to pelt you with questions, but we got to find out how you've been, man. How are you and the family doing? All right.
Listen, man, I'm doing all right. Like y'all said, it is hot. It is a hot Georgia summer, but all is well. This has been a crazy time since March. Of course, I do my other things in ministry and other writing jobs and stuff that I have. So not full-time sports as I used to be, but I am getting back into the scene through the Crescent Buzz on the South Metro side. And so I'm excited about that, man. I was thinking that I'd be talking about recruits and talking about potential matchups for the year and all that. Didn't realize I'd be still talking about a pandemic, but, it is what it is. And even though sports may or may not happen just yet, there's still a whole lot of sports to talk about.
There really is. There really is, Gabe. And you, this week, some things have happened as far as high school in an area that you are very familiar with. I believe it was you who initiated the media day for Rockdale and Newton schools. And this week, Newton ends up with some positive tests. They end up having to shut everything down for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then Rockdale decides they're not going to play at all, the county. Talk about that. That's an area you got to know very, very well. And the fact that they're not playing.
Yeah, man, I spent 3 years as a sports editor at the Covington News down there in Newton County, and it allowed me to rub elbows with schools and athletes in Walton and Rockdale County. We initiated that media day, football media day. But, man, I saw that, and I was just like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I think Rockdale is the first Metro ATL school to kind of just pull it all back. And I was thinking that could be that first domino in the succession to fall, kind of like if y'all remember how when this whole thing began, the NBA kind of started things off when it postponed its season. The next thing you knew, other leagues were following suit, and it kind of trickled down to other areas of sports. And so maybe it's too soon to say if anything like that would happen here locally. Don't know how much, if Rockdale has, Rockdale has been one of the more cautious school districts in our state, especially in the metro area, since the beginning of the pandemic. But it'll be interesting to see if they've got that kind of influence to cause kind of a ripple effect throughout the rest of the metro area schools, man. I will say this, if we don't, it's coming soon to September 4th, so if we're not making plans and got stuff concretely in place to make this season happen, I wouldn't be surprised to see either other schools fall out or GHSA say, hey, let's table this for a further date.
This is Gabriel Stovall from Crescent Buzz joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And for purposes of the rest of this interview, I hope you don't mind if I just call you Reverend. Because I just think it's apropos to say that on a Sunday morning. So I hope you're good with that.
Sports Rev. Call me the Sports Rev.
Hey, I like that even better. Here's my question to you. How comfortable have you been or are you not with the decisions that have been made so far by the Georgia High School Association when it comes to – and really, their hands are kind of tied, but your thoughts on what they've done so far?
The GHSA is a very easy target. It's like low-hanging fruit for criticism. And so I've been critical of GHSA at times, as most sports journalists in this area have. But I can honestly say they have a very difficult job. I don't envy them. And I think they have tried to make decisions that are in trying to balance out to be in the best interests of athletes who are trying to further use this season to further their careers, you know, get themselves ready for college, but also for coaches, for parents, for others who are concerned about the health issues. And one of the things that I know about just high-level decision-making, you're not going to make everybody happy. You're not going to make everybody pleased. And so there will be some people, no matter what happens, whether they cancel it all, whether they proceed, whether they postpone, there will be some people that are going to be mad. But one thing I do kind of wish the GHSA, I don't know if they're doing it, but I wish they would really take it into consideration if they're not, is kind of pushing this and postponing it to maybe a spring football or spring season, you know, spring fall season, if you will, pushing these fall sports in the spring semester. Because one thing that did kind of raise my eyebrows is when they canceled the scrimmages that were set, I think, August 21st, August 28th. And so in my mind, me and Sam, we and I talked about this. If you're going to cancel the scrimmages, you're saying we're not ready to have scrimmages in August 21st, August 28th. What makes us then think we're going to be ready to have actual full season kicking off on September 4th? So to me, I don't know if that's just a move that they're saying, hey, let's buy a little extra time. But I'm hoping at this juncture that the GHSA will get even more serious about saying, hey, let's look at this in the springtime. I think 12 states across the nation have already said we're going to do fall sports in the spring. And I feel like that may actually be the best recourse for us right now.
Amen, Reverend.
Spending time on the wait for it. Spending time on the wait for it. .com hotline with Gabriel Stovall. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabriel C. Stovall, at Gabriel C. Stovall. Gabe, I'm going to follow up on what you said, I'm kind of dismayed at the fact that there wasn't a consideration or at least a plan for moving things to the first of the year or to December 1st of the year. Like, and as more as I listen to people, the more I talk to people, there really was no plan for this. So it's, to me, and like you said, GHSA can be an easy target. It seems like somebody in the room would have said, okay, we're wishing and we're hoping that everything is going to come, that this virus is going to calm down and that we're going to be able to play. You know, so we're hoping for this. But what, don't you have something in your back pocket? You have something in your back pocket to do what some states are doing? Some states are flip-flopping the spring sports for the fall sports, and playing baseball. Because you know what? And this is another subject you want to get into. Kids playing travel ball baseball. They're playing, absolutely. They've been playing softball. Well, softball started. You play your tennis, you got your golf, you got your track. You can play those sports in the fall and then play your football. And, you know, so a number of states that are doing that. Right. We've, like, put it all, we made it all or nothing. And I just think that's, you kind of, it's like you're painting that floor and you're walking backwards and you found out, oh, that's the wall.
That sounds like something I would do, Sam. But, you're right, man. I mean, 12 states, like I said earlier, have already said, hey, let's flip-flop. Let's push the spring, the fall stuff into spring. I think Virginia, Delaware, and Hawaii are the three most recent to make that happen. Like I said, I don't know all the logistics that will be involved. I'm not even going to pretend that I know that. But I feel like, again, if the GHSA is saying, hey, we're not going to be ready to do scrimmages at the end of August, but we are going to be ready to do football at the first week in September. I just think we're still operating in pipe dream mode. And so I know, hey, I know this is the South. I know this is Georgia. I know football is king. But I think, you know, and even, you know, I had the chance over the last few weeks to reach out to a few Southern Crescent area coaches over at Elka, Eagles Landing Christian, Eagles Landing High School, Forest Park, Jonesboro. And the amongst the coaches, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. They like the idea of being out there for the kids. The kids are all in. I mean, the kids are out there hitting and running and doing like nothing's wrong. But the coaches are, you know, expressing some concern and rightfully so. And so I want to see it. Maybe under the hat, maybe something that's, they're not showing all their cards right now. I don't know, but I would just like to see the GHSA, or at least like to know that they are at least strongly considering a spring alternative. Because like I said, at this late juncture, I mean, ADs don't even really know how they're going to deal with the fan situation and the concession workers. You know, the kids are resilient to the disease, statistics show us, but what about the older population at work? Football games and softball games, coaches and you know, the voice in the press box and all those individuals, like, they are more susceptible, and you're going to put them in harm's way as well. So I don't know. I'm thinking more and more spring is a better solution right now.
That's Gabriel Stovall from Crescent Buzz joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com from this point on, affectionately known as the Sports Reverend. Sam brought up the word earlier in the show, and we've danced around it during this conversation with you, but not specifically. What are you hearing from parents along these lines?
I'm hearing a mixed bag, and that's from personal conversations to, you know, you can find out a whole lot just by scrolling through Twitter, you know, what people are saying. And it's a mixed bag. You've got some parents who are saying, listen, my kid's future is at stake here. My kid is a senior. He needs he needs another year of highlight reel. He needs another year of exposure. He needs another year of training and of practice to get better for college. This is his ticket to college. And then I've got others, I hear others who are saying, you know what? I don't want to put my kid at risk by putting him out there or putting her out there in close quarters with other athletes. We know where our child has been. We don't know where theirs have been. And then, of course, you've got some who are saying, listen, if the schools, especially, you know, like you've got certain school districts in like Clayton County, which is going all virtual starting tomorrow. My 9-year-old son, he's a Clayton County school student. And so you've got some of those parents who are saying, listen, if we can't go to classrooms to have in-class school, why do we need to go and put our kids' lives on the line to bring money into these schools through sports? So it's just a mixed bag of just opinions and thoughts. And I get it, man. Like, none of us have ever gone through this before. Like, you joke about even me with being, you know, sports rev. I pastor in the pandemic. I don't know what to do. There's no playbook for this. And so we all just kind of take it as we can. But you're not going to please everybody. But I do believe, again, that we've got to make decisions. I hope that the GHSA will make decisions that will be the best and provide the best, hopefully, out course and recourse that gives everybody a chance to be relatively safe and still gives the kids an opportunity to have their season of athletics.
Yep. Gabe, we got a couple more minutes with you here. I want to talk about something else because I've seen so many coaches on Twitter worry and be concerned about if they shut football down for the fall, kids are going to go do something. They're going to go do these travel 7-on-7s. They're going to go to the camp. We got a camp going on in the metro area right now. And parents are sending their kids to it. It's like 400 kids at $75 a hit. And these guys are making money. So I'm just saying that's the other element. You know,
right.
And your thoughts on that, because I mentioned travel ball's been going on, baseball, East Cobb, God bless the folk out there, they making money.
Yes, sir.
The other part. But they don't have the responsibility and the liability that high schools have.
And that's the thing, man. That's the thing. So here's the thing about that, Sam, and that's a great thing that you brought up. Let's say GHSA Robin Hines, who I greatly respect, as kind of the point guy down there at GHSA headquarters. Let's say they come out tomorrow and they say, all right, guys, postponing it all. We will push it back into the spring semester. Boom, it's over. You're gonna have some people who are happy. You're gonna have some people upset. But like you said, Sam, there are still gonna be some people who are going to be like, all right, so we can't do high school ball through the schools. We're gonna find another alternative. So people are, things are still going to happen. Athletics is still going to take place in one shape, one form or fashion. I think one thing that people are grudgingly willing to accept is that high school sports, especially in this area and a talent-rich area like Georgia, like Florida, Texas, it has become big money. It is a big money matter, almost kind of rivaling what college athletics has become, maybe on a smaller scale. And so you are going to get people that are going to want to do those things, but I think the decision-making that will happen through GHSA or through individual schools, it's not them trying to say, hey, you need to stay at home and be draconian about it. But I think what they're saying is we're going to make decisions that keep our hands out of any responsibilities. Because, hey, let's be honest. If GHSA says, hey, full speed ahead, football September 4th, let's go. And we can get to the end of the season. And if one person catches COVID-19, and God forbid, if one person dies or has some extenuating hospital stay because of it, we all know that GHSA, the schools, et cetera, are going to be the ones that are going to become the whipping boys for that. And I think I can't blame them for trying to decide, especially like Rockdale. I can't blame Rockdale school system for saying, you know what? We're not even going to take that chance of being that whipping boy if something does happen. So like you said, man, sports are going to happen no matter what. And I get that. I see both sides of the situation. But I think the schools and I think GHSA are probably going to be trying to line their decision-making up so that they don't become the whipping boy in case something does happen.
Preach, Reverend. Preach!
Look, see, yeah. now that you've yeah. got this no. moniker on me, Gray, you're going to have me on regularly so that you can call me the sports rev every other week, man.
Absolutely.
That's what we got to do.
Absolutely. Pass the plate. Come on.
Gabriel Stovall, we thank you for being on with us, man. It's been great to catch up with you. We'll see how this plays out, but we're always great to get your input. And we'll see you down on the South Side.
Yes,
check
we will.
Out some of those teams, all right?
Yes, sir, Sam. Always a pleasure, guys. I love being on with you guys. Y'all have a great Sunday.
You too. You too.
All right. You too as well. All right, Greg.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, BTU, then we got a Sunday afternoon service. Miss Johnson got some food down in the basement, so after we preach, we're going to go down there and get something to eat. And y'all don't spill nothing on your dresses. And your suits. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Wow. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Check us out on the radio.com app. And good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Yeah, we got to get the Rev on here on a regular basis. That was kind of fun. Gabriel Stovall just joined us talking high school football. We are about to get into a feature that is just taking off. Here, the HBCU update, which has its own name, Stomp the Yard. But before that, Sam and I started the show, the three of us actually, talking about a couple different things that happened sort of on the periphery. And from time to time, we are reminded that we, meaning Sam and I, are reminded that Jahi is not in the same age range as us. We're just reminded of it, just different comments. And so it got me thinking about something. We had a baseball conversation yesterday that took us down the road where Jahi let us know that this is what millennials think versus what he and I thought. And then something happened later in the day. I was watching the PGA Championship. And they were coming back from a commercial. And they were showing cuts of Tiger, different times that he's played this. He's won this tournament four times. And they had a group of the young golfers on, led by Brooks Koepka, who were all talking about their iconic moment in golf. And it was different than the one I think Sam and I would have chosen. But he said, if you grew up in my generation, there's only one golf replay that stands alone. And it was from the 2000 PGA Championship at Valhalla, where Tiger hit that putt, pretty much sealing the victory for himself. But he hit that birdie and, remember, walked behind it and then did the point, walked it right into the cup. You know what I'm talking about, Sam, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So for that generation, and Brooks Koepka said, for our generation, that's it. That's the iconic moment in his particular sport. And it got me thinking that I wondered what, and again, I mean no disrespect when I give this name out, but it sort of capsulizes the age group that I'm talking about, what millennials' iconic moments are, probably versus the ones Sam and I have. So I wanted to bring Jahi in here, and I'm not going to put you on the spot right now. I want you to think about it, but I would like you to speak for the people in your age range.
I'll try.
Who would pick an iconic moment from the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball? And over the next 2 hours, we're going to do segments, and I just, you know, have you chime in, or we'll start off with your iconic moment. Because, again, for me, if it were golf, I don't know about you, Sam, it would probably be not that point in the 2000, but it would be, and it would be Tiger, maybe between either Jack's last win to get his last green jacket, in 86, or Tiger's first win at the Masters, where his father was waiting for him.
Yeah.
And it's probably Tiger's first win. The more I think about it, there was a clear division from old school to what was going to be next, and Tiger doing that. That would have been mine. So, again, you tell me what you think. And, again, when we get to the NBA, we found out earlier this year that a lot of folks, a lot of young folks don't pick a Jordan moment. It's a Kobe moment. You know, it's an Iverson moment. It's not the ones you would think it would be. They don't want to hang their hat on what Jordan did. They loved what Kobe did. So it'll be interesting to get that perspective from you. And if you don't mind, we'll start at the 8 o'clock hour, the first one. Give me your NFL, what you think Millennials' iconic NFL moment is. And if you want to jump in, 404-741-0929, or you can shoot us, jump on Twitter at 92.9thegame. Let us know what you think. But we're going to get Jahee's first. And speaking of Jahee, this floor is yours, man. It is time for Stomp the Yard, our HBCU update.
All right. How you doing, guys? Everybody's good?
Doing fine.
Doing great. Doing great.
All right. So let's start this off. So the first thing we got this young man named Sky Clark. And you might say, who's this guy, Sky Clark? Well, he's a five-star recruit, class of 2022. Now, we know these young guys have been making waves, saying that they're putting the HBCUs on their list. Well, here is another one. This young man has put this combo guard, 6'2 combo guard, has put Tennessee State on his list as far as the school. So Tennessee State, along with Memphis, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan, UCLA, Oregon, and USC. If we remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Mikey Williams, and he was the class of 2023. He's a five-star recruit as well. He put Tennessee State on his list along with five other HBCUs as well. So maybe we see a powerhouse coming along somewhere along the lines, maybe in the future. Who knows? But we'll see. Speaking of, we have a transfer. The transfer portal is open. So Noel Eastern. He's a transfer from Purdue. He decided he is going to take his talents to Howard. Another guy going to Howard. Another young basketball player. He spent 3 years at Purdue. He was a five-star recruit initially, but in the last 3 years, he's averaged 5 points per game, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. But he is shooting 46.6% from the three-point line. And he's a 6'7", 225-pound start wing guard, good defender. Now, the problem is maybe a little bit difficult for him to play this season considering that he is a non-graduate transfer. So we see he might have to sit out that 1 year. So we may not see him with McCore Maker this year. It'd be nice if we can. But the coaching staff has said that they're going to keep their options open. They're looking to make sure that he tries to get on the floor this season.
And it's the segment that's blowing up. They're talking about it in the barbershops. It's Stomp the Yard, our HBCU update with Jahee Whitehead joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I know you got more, man.
Of course I do. So the band that I played in was Alcorn State. So
Yes, that was
Alcorn State.
So Mormon, Mississippi.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Have you?
Yes. Oh, yes, I have.
You say it like you had some fun there that you want to mention.
Hey, we had a nice time. Had a nice time down there.
All right.
Don't we mention Elkhorn? Did we do a shout out? May he rest in peace to Steve McNair.
Shouldn't we do that? Yeah, absolutely.
Until we get a player of his caliber back at an HBCU, we ain't had one like him since. Go ahead.
So speaking of Elkhorn State, they're retooling their basketball team. First-year head coach Landon Bussey. They have 11 new signees. So four from D1 schools, including the SWAC Rookie of the Year player, and five from JUCO, along with some freshmen coming in. So they're looking to have a big year this year coming up, retooling. So we'll see. And hopefully this year we can see, speaking of, and we talked about this a few times, about watching these games, about watching everything, and I stumbled across something this week.
I made a discovery
for HBCU Go TV. There is a network. It's an app. It's also an app. You can go online with it. It's a network. It was started by a former executive at BET. He was looking to start a company network. Few years ago with Comcast, but it got derailed with the merger of Comcast and NBC. So he has retooled, and now they have this app. You can go on HBCU Go TV. HBCU Go.TV is on the internet, and then HBCU Go is for the app. You can go there and you can watch it. They have programming there as well. I looked up and I saw the Howard Homecoming from 2018 up there. So and a whole bunch of other things as well. There's a lot of representation of HBCU. So I just say go check that out.
All right. And well, one other thing that happened this week, the FCS, I think pretty much are abandoning their postseason.
Yeah.
Which in effect means the FBS schools are not gonna play. So it means that they will all probably likely move to a spring schedule,
yes,
along with the SWAC and possibly the MEAC and those schools to play in that classification at that level. Would all be able to play and play for their championships again. The NCAA is making that decision. D3, D2, and FCS programs as well. So, you know, that looks like that's something that moves forward. That's when we'll likely see, you know, the HBCUs competing.
Right.
We'll probably be in the spring.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Which I wouldn't be too mad at, especially if we can attend these games. I wouldn't be mad at it.
That's the thing, you know, and you know, you want to play game, and you know you're going to play the games. You want people to come in and attend, and that's the other part that we missed making about high school as well. You don't want to play games. You want to play in front of empty seats.
Yeah.
As good as playing high school ball in front of empty seats, you want people to come, and you want as many people as possible. If more people are able to come in January or February than now, then why would you not want to do that? I mean, I'm like everybody else, Shahi. You know, back when the pandemic hit, I was very hopeful. I was wishing that the virus would be in a place where we could have football the way we like to have football, you know, and with the start of the school year. Outside of the holidays, this is my favorite time of year, man.
Me too.
Everybody's got their new clothes. Everybody got their new back to school, and that, you know, the school year starts with football. I love it. I simply love it. But what is it if you can't have people attend and come out and support it like you should? If families can't come out and enjoy it like they should, and when you talk about HBCUs, if alums, you know,
right,
can't come back to the games and really have a good time and fellowship. So we talked about the homecomings that have been canceled and how much it's going to cost in cities like Greensboro, North Carolina, and whatnot, so where they can't have the A&T homecoming. Let's regroup and get to a time when you can enjoy that and have some people come out and actually be in the stands, and the band can actually show. Because right now I'm scared of bands, man.
Yeah.
You know, bands got them instruments with stuff flying out of them, and they're like marching Petri dishes. They really are, man. You know, so I'm like, I want to be safe. I want to go to a game.
That's just bad. No, it's just funny. There's a whole lot of Petri dishes that are out there, but yet yours only comes up with bands. But, yeah, point taken. You brought up cheerleading, too. That's another one. It's not going to happen.
And I want to do a quick shout out before we leave out of here. I want to shout out to 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz, Alabama State alum. I don't know if he's an alum, but he definitely went there, played ball for them. And he decided he wanted to make a song dedicated to HBCUs, and he did that. And it's dedicated
cool.
us. Yeah, he starts it off talking about Southern and Fam and Clark and Alabama State, so ASU. So, yeah, this is this right here. So, shout out to 2 Chainz for that. That's really dope with him. And he got Lil Wayne on it, so that's real tight.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say stick around. Coming up next, we're going to get Jahee's iconic NFL moment, speaking for all the young folks out there. But now, I'm just going to tell you, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and enjoy 2 Chainz. The booth contaminated. Hey, check
my face card. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.